reading comes from Matthew 22, beginning with the 34th verse. This is from the NIV, the first. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And hearing again, this time from the Message. When the Pharisees had heard how he had bested the Sadducees, they gathered their forces for an assault. One of their religion scholars spoke for them, a lawyer, posing a question that they hoped would show him up. Teacher, which command in God's law is the most important? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important. It is first on any list. But there is a second set right alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are the pegs that everything in God's law and the prophets hang on them. Amen. I love that translation because it talks about this is a very personal thing. This commandment is not given as a world kind of thing. This is aimed right at you, that you're to love God with all your passion, everything about you, that you love God. That you love God with everything you have in your mind. That you love God with everything in your spirit. See, those are three things, man. And they make you up, do they not? Your passion, your thought process, your emotional well-being is all tied up into God. Now, what about this story today? They said that it was a test. And this was, if you've been following along for the last several weeks, you know that the Pharisees have kind of cornered Jesus, right? They're trying to trick him, trying to get him to say something that they, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with it. Well, we do know what they do with it eventually. They don't want to learn anything from him. They don't want to improve anything. All they want to do is get rid of him.
Maintain the status quo.
Amen. It was all about power and control. And so this is yet another test. First of all, folks, think about how stupid this test is. I mean, if you love God, if you are a true believer, then what is going to be the most important commandment to you? What's going to be most important? Your love for God. What did they think he was going to say? Oh, wait. I know. Here it is. It isn't obvious to them because they had 613 other laws to try to explain this one. Have you ever been in a lawyer's office? Anybody here? Y'all been in a lawyer's office?
Oh, no. I work in one.
Okay, yeah, there you go. And there's one room, folks, when you go into that office, one room that is literally all four walls are covered with what?
Law books.
Law books. You can think of anything that you have done or not done, and you can find some, what do they call it? Case law in one of these books. It's because, folks, we don't make anything simple. I remember Tina Turner. Remember that song, what was it, Roland? What was that?
Proud Mary.
Proud Mary. And she, when she introduced that song in her concert, she said, we're going to take this song nice and easy, but we don't do anything nice and easy. We always have got to complicate it. Isn't it obvious, folks, this morning, what this is all about? We have 2 millennia of people telling us what to do. We've got rule after rule that explains this commandment. And I'm telling you, it doesn't need any explanation. All it needs is you. Remember last week, well, not here, because I wasn't here last week. I was over at First Christian Church. We talked about, but Jesus had been, they had tested him with that coin, right? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, give to Caesar's what Caesar's, amen? And I asked their congregation at that time, just exactly what is it we give to Caesar's what Caesar's? We know what that is, right? We know. I mean, the IRS defines it for you every year, what belongs to Caesar, amen? Your electric bill defines for you what belongs to Caesar. There's red lights out there wherever you drive that defines for you that if you don't stop, what belongs to Caesar. But what belongs to God?
Your heart.
You got it, brother. You belong to God. Think about that. That means the simple answer to the greatest commandment then is this. It's you loving God. It is about your relationship with God. And get this, folks, newsflash. Nobody can mess with that. Nobody can take that away from you. You are wonderfully and uniquely made in the image of God. And if you are in the image of God and you love God, everybody else can just leave you the hell alone. They have got nothing to say to you. Now, where this gets a little tricky is when Jesus added the second commandment. Amen? Because see, I think most of us sitting here this morning, even on our worst day, love God.
People, not so much.
There are those. The challenge is
on. You know, I love humanity, but it's people I can't stand. Somebody said that. I forgot who said that. It's some old quote that's been around. Gandhi, I remember saying that he loved Christianity. He thought Christianity was great. It was just the followers of Christianity that gave him problems. The second one becomes a little tricky. Because we're supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so this morning, the real question about this message is, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? How often do you even ask yourself that question? Because I get that you probably don't because you're afraid of the answer. Amen?
Well, there's a few things in there.
Yeah, hallelujah. Well, let me give you a hint as to how this works. There was a dude a long time ago, he had a big old rock in front of his house, right? He had gotten all kinds of estimates for getting this rock pulled out from in front of his house. I mean, it was big. It was as big, probably, as this pavilion. And it was going to cost way too much money to get it. And it just annoyed him. Because he was like me, everything has a place and every, you know, so it has to look nice. So he finally decided, if I can't get it towed out of here, if I can't get rid of it, I'm going to do something with it to make it look decent. And he started chiseling on it. And by the time he was done, he had the most gorgeous elephant you had ever seen in your life in his front yard. It was just, it was a monument to how incredible that animal is, right? And the neighbors looked at it, they said, my God, that is absolutely beautiful. How did you do that? And he looked at him and said, I just got rid of everything that wasn't an elephant. Hear me now. How do you love yourself? Just get rid of everything that isn't love. And that's what you'll be left with. You see, we complicate love too much, too. I know that people will sit there and go, well, I want to love people, Pastor, but, and I will tell you that anytime you're in a debate or a conversation with me and you use the word but, the conversation is over. Because it means you're not listening. Because what's the answer to that person who aggravates you that you say, well, I can't love them because they, what do you call it? Wait a minute, what is it? What is it in Micah? Oh yeah, we're supposed to be fair. We're supposed to have mercy. See, part of loving ourselves is to be fair with ourselves, is to be willing to forgive ourselves and to be humble in that relationship that we have with God because God loves us. Do you see? This is not difficult. I looked up, because you can do this with Google.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can do with Google.
I looked up some definitions of love. Okay? You want to get some teachings on what love actually is and how you can do love this morning? Here we go. Oh, by the way, these are all kids under the age of 10. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Rebecca's 8 years old. Billy, age 4. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth. Chrissy, age 6. Love is when you go out to eat and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs. Terry, age 4. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Danny, age 7. Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay. Bobby, age 5. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Nikki, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Noel, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they've known each other for so long and so well. Elaine, age 5. Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken. Folks, I got to stop for a minute. I can relate to that. Because I never got the breast when I was a kid. My mother always made sure that my father got that piece of meat. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. That was Chris, age 8. Marianne, age 4. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day. Mark, age 6. Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't think it's gross. There's some stuff to learn here, folks. And the last one. You really shouldn't say, I love you, unless you mean it. If you mean it, you should say it a lot, because people forget. That's from Jessica, age 8. Jessica, love God with all your heart, with all your mind, all your strength, and love each other as you love yourself. And hear clearly, you are loved because you are made in the image of God. And that indeed is enough. God bless you.